Yesterday, as my wife was so kind to take all of our laundry to her grandma's and do it, I was left alone for the most part of the day. I began to study out what I felt that God had given me. I realized that most likely this will be one of the last times that I'm able to speak to this church as a youth pastor, and so I would like to direct several of my thoughts to the young people this morning. And I would love for us to be able to open up our hearts as a congregation today and to receive what God has for us this morning. It was mentioned in the minister's meeting before we came out for our service today that there was just a feeling that God was coming soon. Just a feeling that God's coming back. I get the feeling that there's some of us that need to make up in our minds that every choice and decision is going to be centered and focused around Jesus Christ, because we want to be ready when He comes back. I hope every young person, I hope every adult, I hope every elder has Jesus Christ as a number one priority. It's one thing to talk. It's one thing to come to church. It's one thing to consider yourself to be a member of New Life Christian Center. And yet it's even a step higher to have a relationship with God. For in the midst of a multitude, it was Daniel, the Bible says, that purposed in his heart. And in the midst of chaos and confusion, it was Abraham that purposed in his heart. And I wish this morning that somehow every one of us could purpose in our heart. Because the devil wants to steal your heart. And the devil wants to confuse your heart. I read to you this morning from verse 14 of Joel chapter 3. These words were written multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. For every minister was in the meeting before church, I believe that God is coming soon. Really believe that. I believe that the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Hallelujah. Before you're seated, I want you to notice one more passage of Scripture with me, and that is in Judges chapter 15. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I read to you from Judges chapter 16 and verse number 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Young people, I ask that you would let me talk to you this morning on the valley of decision. Adults, visitors that are here today, we make a lot of decisions, but none so important as decision that is made in the valley of decision. I ask that you would allow me to preach to you this morning what I feel is on my heart. Could we pray together and ask for God's help today? Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for every child, every young person. God, I thank you for every adult that is in this place today. God, I'm asking that you would open our hearts on a Sunday morning to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would have to say to the church. God, I believe that there are multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. God, I realize that in the midst of decision making, that Noah preached to the crowd and Noah sought after the congregation, but could only reach his family. God, I'm asking today that you would let the words reach someone's heart, that they would not be intimidated or afraid to make a decision and the purpose in their heart. Help us this morning, Jesus, and we'll thank you for it. Amen. And you may be seated today. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I began to read yesterday afternoon, and the Bible says that Samson went into a place that was called the Valley of Sorek. And I began to study out really what the Valley of Sorek would mean. And it was then that I came across the meaning of this valley, and it was considered the Valley of the Choice Vine. And it was in this valley that the name was changed from the Valley of Sorek to the Valley of Choice. I literally had to put down the book that I was reading and just sit for a moment when I compared what Samson had allowed himself to encounter. For when you let yourself walk into a place called the Valley of Choice, you will not leave without making a decision. Someone hear me this morning, every young person that is here, you cannot walk into the valley of choice and leave without making a decision. You see, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson. Chapter 13, verse 25. Chapter 14, verse 6. Chapter 14, verse 19. Chapter 15, verse 14. And Hebrews 11 lets us know that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him mightily. Samson knew what it was like to sense and to feel and to encounter the supernatural power of God. He knew what it was like to be empowered by anointing from on high. He knew what it was like to destroy 1,000 men. He knew what it was like to catch 300 foxes. He knew what it was like to tear a lion apart. He knew what it was like to lift the gates of a city upon his shoulders and to carry them over 1 mile up a hill. Samson knew the power of God. The only flaw that I see in Samson's character was that his problem was simply he gave the devil an opportunity to destroy him. You see, Samson had three lovers, and I couldn't help but think that as Brother Penrod stood here behind the pulpit and spoke this morning about our choices on a Sunday morning, entertainment or church, to sleep or church, you can't walk into the valley of choice and leave without making a decision. You've got to make a decision. You've got to choose what's going to control your heart. I don't know what it is this morning. Maybe it is a sport. Maybe it is money. Maybe it's something in your home. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's something emotionally. But I challenge you in the Holy Ghost to somehow let yourself consider the valley of decision and the valley of choice. And before you leave this place today, that you would make up in your mind that God has full control of your heart. Samson, three lovers. Chapter 14 talks of his wife from Timnath, a Philistine. The writer talks in chapter 16 of his second lover, the harlot in Gath, a Philistine. And finally, Delilah, his third lover, a Philistine. I asked you this morning, how can you keep from falling when everything that you love is from the other camp? Samson, three choices, three Philistines. Yeah, it's easy to take the jawbone of a donkey and to destroy a multitude. It's easy to catch 300 foxes and to let them go destroying the Philistines. But when your heart is in love with what you're trying to destroy, it's going to catch up with you. You cannot love what is supposed to be your enemy. His mama asked him the question in chapter 14, verse 3, Samson, is there not a woman or a love amongst your own people? As I listen to the words this morning, how that God can satisfy, and God can give joy, and God can entertain. I wish that somehow that could break through the barriers of every one of our hearts this morning and let someone grab a hold of the fact that God can be your strength, and God can be your love, and God can be your joy, and God can be what is your satisfying. Why is it that the only fun things supposedly come from outside the camp? His mama pleaded with him, Samson, why is it that you find your joy and your fellowship and laughter from outside the camp? But Samson gave the devil a window of opportunity. I asked someone today, what window of opportunity have you given the devil? Young people, what window of opportunity have you given the devil? What's he going to use to destroy you? Do you know what it is? Do you know what you battle that no one else knows? Do you know what you struggle with? Adult, you know what window of opportunity it is that the devil uses to discourage you and keep you from worshiping and keeps you from a prayer life? Keeps you from having the relationship with God that God would desire you to have? What window of opportunity have we allowed the devil? What place have we found ourselves? What valley? Is it the valley of decision and choice? What have you allowed the devil to creep in and say, this is what I will use to destroy them? You see, when you present the opportunity, Satan is going to knock on your door and require a choice. When you present the opportunity, Samson, I promise you that in just a couple hours when the sun goes down, there's going to be some Philistines that find their way into the room, getting ready to come upon you, and you're going to be given a decision. Where was your heart? It's not by chance that Samson was in the valley of choice. He went there on purpose. I want you to understand, Samson just didn't end up there by happenstance. He went there on purpose. Almost every time that we find ourselves in trouble, it's because we went there on purpose. The Bible says that the lords of the Philistines came and they looked at Delilah and said two words, entice him. Entice him. You see, the lords of the Philistines had to use a tool to get to Samson. Because you know something, Rick? The devil knows that he's not going to get you to fall asleep on his lap. Travis, the devil knows he's not going to get you to fall asleep on his lap. Brother Bill, the devil knows he's not going to get us to fall asleep on his lap. But he will use whatever tool and whatever person or whatever means that he can to get to your heart. You see, they came and they looked at Delilah and they said, entice him. Those words, entice him, comes from a Hebrew word that means to allure or to deceive. Whatever it takes to deceive you. AJ, I want you to understand this morning, whatever it takes for the devil to deceive you, he's going to use it. He knows he's not going to just get you someday to fall down asleep on his lap and say, now I've got your power. But he will do whatever he can to get the hold of someone or something that allows you to fall asleep on the lap. And when the moment comes that you're in your weakest point, that's when the devil's going to come in and say, I got you. It's going to allure you. It's going to draw you. And before you know it, it's got you in its claws. Samson's there on purpose. He knows what he's doing there. But I'm bigger than my problem. I'm bigger than temptation. I'm bigger than the trial. You're not bigger than temptation. What was Eve ever doing by the tree? God said, don't touch the tree. Don't even go near it. If you find yourself by the tree, you're going to make a decision. Should I take it? Shouldn't I take it? Is it right? Is it wrong? Am I going to be like God? Am I not going to be like God? What was she ever even doing by the tree? But when you're by the tree, and when you're in the valley of decision, someone better hear me this morning. You're not going to leave without making a choice. They looked at Delilah that day and they said, see by what means we may prevail against him. See by what means. You know what that proves to me, Brother Kenny? Their point all along was if the first way don't work, make sure you have a backup plan. And if the second one don't work, get a third plan. See by what means that we may prevail against him. The devil is willing to use anything or anyone to destroy you. And you better take note of it this morning. Someone's going to get a blessing for destroying and afflicting you. The devil's going to bless someone if they can drag you down. They looked at her that day and they said, we're willing to each give you 1,100 pieces of silver, which in her time was worth, in her money, $3,520. In our money, billions of dollars. What they're willing to offer to drag you to hell. You see, the devil's not going to stop at anything to take you to hell. And the devil will use whatever he can by any means to make sure that before long he takes your heart. The devil's goal is to get you to be like everyone else. Did you notice in our scripture reading, and have you ever noticed in the story, that every single time the question was posed and asked, that Delilah said, tell me what it would take for you to be like any other man. What would it take for you to be like everyone else? I've got news for you this morning. You're not like everyone else. I'm not interested in making a bargain with the devil so that I can be like everyone else. Not everyone else knows the power of carrying the gates of the city. Not everyone else knows the power of destroying 1,000 Philistines. I'm not interested in a plea bargain, how I can be like everyone else. You see, Samson had a vow that gave him power. A vow to Jehovah that while everyone else would worship Dagon, Samson said, I've got me a vow, and that is to dedicate my life to Jehovah. But you see, the longer you stay around the valley of choice, the more tempting it gets to let down on your stance. Samson starts playing games with her. Well, I tell you what, if you're to bind me with 7 greens, that's where my power's at. And so it's a big joke. Samson thinks it's all funny. But what you don't understand, you're in the valley of choice. The choice between one of the greatest judges and ministers of Christ ever or someone that's going to have their eyes gouged out grinding at a mill. And so they bind him up and they put him in greens and he falls to sleep and he's sound asleep and all of a sudden she yells. And I want you to understand what's happening. Samson's playing the game. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And Samson jumps up and he breaks the greens and destroys, set free. It's no big deal. You see that? Look what I done. I sinned. God didn't do anything to me. I lost my purpose. The first thing that Samson lost was his purpose. He lost his purpose. Then it continues on. Samson, you mocked me. You lied to me. Samson, I can't believe you would do that to me. Samson said, okay, I tell you what. If you bind me with 7 ropes that have never been used, that's where power's at. And so they tie him up with 7 ropes. And Brother Darren, the same thing. The Philistines are upon you. And he jumps up and breaks the ropes. And he's all free again. And man, it's so awesome to play with the devil. And it's so awesome to show off the power. And it's so awesome to prove that the devil can't get me. Let me tell you something. The devil can get you if you allow yourself to stay in the valley of choice. Do you know what the first thing should have happened with Samson? After the first time that the question was even asked, it should have been hightailing it out of the valley of choice. The first time after he was bound up with the greens, it should have been getting out of the valley of choice. The first time after he had his legs tied up with ropes, it should have been getting out of the valley of choice. But when he allowed himself to play the game, and Brother Smith, the second time, it's the ropes. Not only now has he lost his purpose, but now he has lost his pledge. She begins to mock him and cry. You're not being honest with me. You're not telling me the truth. And Samson told her the closest thing to the truth that he could. Hey, when you decide to let yourself live as close to your power as you can, you're in trouble. When Samson said, if you just put my hair together in 7 locks, I'm not telling her to cut it. I'm not telling her to shave it. But I'm getting awful close. You see, the first thing that the devil got was his hands. And the next thing the devil got was his feet. But someone hear me. If he's got your feet and your hands, he's coming after your heart. Someone hear me. If He's got your hands and He's got your feet, He's coming after your heart. I want you to notice what Delilah said. The hands didn't work and the feet didn't work. And she looked at him and she said, "Samson, you're not telling me your heart." My God, Brother Lambeck. She's finally got, because the Bible said that after many days, the devil's not going to get you in one day. Someone hear me, the devil's not going to get you overnight. For the writer to say that after many days, how long are you going to stay in the valley of decision? How many times are you going to find yourself in the same old situation in the valley of decision? Until finally, the Bible said that she vexed his soul. That word vexed comes from the Hebrew word kater, and I had to share this with you this morning because that word vexed means to discourage, to grieve, or to stop a harvest. Finally, the devil got what he wanted. I've stopped the harvest. I've grieved it. I put it into it. Because the Bible said that Samson told her all his heart. Hey, if you're in this place this morning, young people, if the devil's got your hands, you can find a place of hope here today. If the devil's got your feet, I encourage someone, there's an altar waiting for you today. Because before long, He's coming after your heart. And when He gets your heart, it's a long road back to the two pillars. Samson, the Bible said, told her all of his heart. He showed her his heart. He denounced it. Here's where my power lies. You know what the Bible says? He fell back asleep. Just like he always had. It's like he'd done all the other times. Brother Pelkey, I'll pray through again. I've prayed through before. I'll ask for forgiveness. I've done it before. I've asked God to strengthen me. I've done it before. The Bible says that Samson went to sleep with the full intent of purpose. It's going to be like it's always been. And Delilah started to cut. And she started to cut some more. And I want to tell someone today, this here isn't a green vine. I know you're in shock, but this morning as I was getting ready for the service, I'm telling you, someone's soul is at stake. And I want to tell you something. This here isn't a green vine. And it's not a rope. You know what this is? Young people, hear me. You know what this is? This is your relationship with God. This is your power. Do you understand? This is what enabled you to destroy the Philistines. But hey, it's gone. Because you know what the Bible says? That Samson woke up when she yelled, "The Philistines are upon you." And Samson said, "It's going to be like it's always been." But you better hear me. It wasn't like it's always been. It wasn't that way no more. And Samson woke up and his power was gone. And the first thing that they done was they gouged out his eyes. And they bound him. And Samson said, "I wish that the Spirit of the Lord was not departed from me. But it's too late." There's some people that think it's going to be like it's always been. But one of these days, it's not going to be. The Bible said that Noah preached and preached and preached. You're in a valley of decision. The day of the Lord is coming soon. But no one would listen. And the Bible said that they mocked him. For the heavens, I wonder what it must have been like when Noah's inside the ark and God shuts the door and people start knocking on the outside. Noah, the water's up to my knees. Let me in. I know the heart of a preacher. I know what I felt all week. I know the burden that I had yesterday. I know the heart of Noah must have been, my God, open this door. But there's going to come a day when you wake up and think it's going to always be like it's always been, but it's not. Noah, the water's up to my waist. My babies are drowning, Noah. The water's up to my chest, Noah. Open the door. And Noah's on the other side pushing and shaking. I can't open the door. I can't budge the door because God shut the door. I'm telling someone there's going to come a day when God shuts the door. And when God shuts the door, you can't open the door. There's going to come a day when people will find their way back to this altar and say, I would to God I could go back to that Sunday morning in the valley of choice, and I wish that the Spirit of the Lord was not departed from me. But the writer said, there's time while there's yet day. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what it is that you're battling. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. But as we all stand this morning, without music, without anything, I'm just going to open this altar today. The devil's coming after your heart. The devil's going to try to defeat you. And I'm pleading with someone in the Holy Ghost today. Don't let the God shut the door on you. Don't let God close the door. He wants to help you this morning. He wants to reach out to you this morning. Would you be man enough? Would you be woman enough? Would you be a big enough young person to step out in this aisle right now and say, hey, all I'm saying is He's messed with my hands and He's messed with my feet, but He's not going to get my heart. And would you let God strengthen you this morning? Would you begin to come all over this building? And would you let God strengthen you today? Hallelujah. My God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I plead Your blood. I love how close I'm going. Thank you.
corazón.